Thank you for helping me to identify who it is. My name is Bob. I'm an addict. And I have the honor and privilege of serving currently as the chairperson of the World Board. This is your World Board open forum. The process that we're going to use and what we're going to do is just go down the line, introduce ourselves, where we're from, and that way you get to know who we are. Thank you. And then we'll open it up for questions. Okay, seems like a reasonable enough process. You guys agree? Yep, okay. It was a consensus decision. See how easy that was? Oh, okay. So our name, board members, this is our assignment. Our name, where we live, and when your term ends. Okay? When your term on the board is completed. Right. My name is Bob. I'm an addict. I live part-time in Missouri and part-time in Massachusetts. My term ends in about 11 months.
Addict named Jim, treasurer of your world board, from Chicago, and I'm halfway through my term, so another 3 years.
Hello, everybody. I'm Giovanna, an addict, world board member. I am from Cartagena, Colombia, and my term ends next conference.
My name is Michael. I'm a world board member, too. I live in Spain. And my term ends in 2010, 4.5 years.
Hi, I'm Saul, I'm an addict. My term ends at the next conference. I'm from Panama.
I'm Ron, I'm an addict, World Board member from New Mexico, and my term ends at the 2006 conference.
And I'm Tom, and I'm an addict, and I'm from Hawaii. And, and thank you for coming to my convention. One of the benefits of being on the World Board. And my term ends the same as Ron's, maybe.
I'm an addict named Craig.
Okay.
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. I've set him up to it, buddy.
Do you want me to give you the microphone, Ron?
I'm an addict. My name is Ron.
Hi, Ron.
And I'm a member of your world board. I think we're introducing ourselves. I'm from the great state of Florida. My term ends 2010.
Thanks, Ron. Thank you. All right, Ron. Again, I'm an addict named Craig. I am from Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm currently the vice chair of your board, and my term ends in 2010. Aloha.
I'm Mook. I'm an addict. I'm from New Jersey and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I get them both. My term ends in 2010, and if there was something else I was supposed to say, I've forgotten it.
Okay, keep
on. Oh, I'm on the World Board. Thank you, Susan.
Thanks, Mom.
Hi, I'm an addict. My name is Pete. And I'm from Sweden. I just got on the board last conference, and hopefully I will last until 2010, yeah.
Thanks, Pete. My name's Ron. I'm an addict. I'm from Melbourne, Australia, and like Pete, I was elected last year, and hopefully I will still be here in 2010.
I'm Mary B., and I'm from the big state of Texas. And I was elected at the last conference, and I will serve till 2010, God willing.
Sorry, I'm an addict. My name's Dave.
Hey, Dave.
I'm from Manchester, England. My term expires at the next conference. Thanks.
My name is Daniel. I'm from Germany in Offenbach. Deutschland. My term ends at the next conference as well.
Great. So that's your World Board. There are a couple of things that I wanted to just make sure that we got out there. One is the basic text project, okay? We're looking for news stories for the basic text. There's information about that in the WSO on-site, which is around in room 315. So if you've ever thought about or if you know people who have interesting stories and information that could be shared in our basic text to make it a global vision of our fellowship, please have them send that in as soon as possible. The deadline is December 31st. Okay, now what I've been telling people whenever I ask them to send their stories, they've got 30 days. Okay, that way we don't end up with 6,000 stories on December 30th and 12,000 on January 15th. Because I've been working registration, and that's what people do. They register at the last minute, or they send in their registration 2 weeks after the deadline. So that's how addicts are. The other thing is we just released the next set of chapters for the Public Relations Handbook, which has a lot more information about cooperative efforts with H&I and public information and our PR efforts and how it is that our public image is in our communities. So anybody can participate in the review and input in that product, okay, in that project. You don't have to be a PI committee. You don't have to be a literature committee. You don't have to be a committee. You can do it as a committee if you like, but we need everybody to assist us in making sure we have the best possible guideline book or a handbook for our members in doing our public relations work. Okay, so those are the two things that I wanted to get out there, make sure that those got talked about. And I guess that's pretty much it. I may field some questions, but I'm going to point to other board members as well for responses to questions, because I don't have to be always the know-it-all, but I am a know-it-all. That doesn't mean I have the information, I'm just a know-it-all. But we'll try to make sure that we get the questions answered, and we'll just kind of go from there. So if you have a question, yes, sir, in the hat, just holler it out.
Hi, my name is John from North Jersey, Bergen area.
Hi, John.
We started our website in January. I emailed you guys questions on a couple of things, and I didn't like the response I got. The response I got on some of the questions were, we've never discussed that before. Hence my question. Will there be, can we see, and we can help with creating some kind of template website on policies of a website, what can go on? Can somebody's personal phone number be on a website? Can somebody's personal email? A cheap way of areas making a website is to have ads on that website so you don't have to pay for the whole site. I've been to area sites of Narcotics Anonymous that have ads for rehab centers and mental health centers. It's not quite a question. Because you answered the question earlier this year that no, we've never discussed that, no, there's no written policy. There's also a tradition that says personal anonymity is the level of press
radio.
Should it also say the word internet there? And what can the world answer that kind of question?
Okay, so there's about six questions there, and I'll start at the top and work my way down. The first one that I'll go to is adding the word internet to our traditions. Okay, that would take action by the entire fellowship, 75% voting in favor of adding that to the core principles. In doing that, you know, it seems like it's, in my mind, it's a sledgehammer to hit a gnat. Okay, we can talk about, we can, in our exposition, in bulletins, in policies, in our local area efforts and regional efforts, we can talk about how we as a community apply that as it relates to the internet and sort of subsume it under that tradition. So do we need to do that? You'll let us know, okay? My personal estimation, I don't think so, not at this point. The other items about, yes, we as a board haven't discussed how to, you know, whether or not somebody should have their personal telephone number on a website. Okay, so we haven't had those discussions. What I can say is that most people that have been doing this have developed area and regional policies governing that. And I can also share that I recently was on a website where it was so stripped of information that I wasn't able to contact anyone in the local community to attend an event that I was trying to get to. So there's a fine balance in all of that. And it's about finding those balances is where we provide our greatest service. Is there anybody here that wants to take a whack at what he was saying?
Is there going to be anything in the PR handbook, Bob, about websites?
There's a little bit in the current chapters about that, but it doesn't provide policies. It talks about some general things to keep in mind. There aren't any strict edicts. Oh, I did that thing again, didn't I? It's an old joke and habit. Yes, sir. And the camos. Yeah, please stand and say your question. Thank you.
Aloha, NA family. I'm just going to read a brief statement, if I can, for everyone's consideration. I'm Ed, and I'm an addict.
Hey.
It is in the spirit of, if it isn't practical, it isn't spiritual, that I express myself today. All any of us can do for sure is try to create an atmosphere where an addict seeking recovery feels safe and welcome to become a part of our life-giving program. Our literature is clearly our most tangible, collective representation of what NA embodies. It is a living, breathing testament of our evolution of the fellowship, striving to improve its ability to carry a message of hope to all addicts. Our fellowship needs to recognize that in order to fulfill our goal of not discriminating based on sexual identity, we must update our language to reflect the reality of the modern day world. The words husband, wife, and marriage are words not legally or socially available to the overwhelming majority of GLBT members around the world. To read them in our literature is a message which inspires a feeling of exclusion. We can and must do better as we go forward. Personal stories and individuals' personal sharing are just that, personal. Where our literature expresses a collective view, these words are antiquated and must be relegated to history. I believe this is a reasonable and practical request of our fellowship, and therefore spiritual in its application. Acknowledgement by the world BOD of this issue, plus an effort to change what is surely changeable, will be of great service to all of us. It is time for us to grow. Mahalo.
Thank you, Ed. And I would only offer that in the sponsorship book, we made very consistent efforts in identifying if people were sharing about it, being gay or being lesbian or transgendered or bisexual. GLBT is gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered. Most people don't understand the abbreviation. That we've tried to let that remain in there. Okay, so that we're doing that. We also, as part of the reflection in the basic text stories, to make sure that, you know, that it's not excluded. But thank you for your comment. Wally?
Yeah, my name's Bob. I'm an addict. Please, we're closing in on one complete cycle on the restructure of world services. Has there been any movement from the region or zonal? We spent a lot of time in workshops on which way we go with Resolution A, which might be the best way to look at, our structure in this area. Has there been any input from the region or zone or from the World Board members about moving Resolution A?
Well, what I'll state, and I'll state what we've been saying for the last two conferences, and that if there's a movement toward implementation of Resolution A, which is a historic resolution that was adopted at the conference in 1996 to downsize the conference to equal geographic representation and a variety of other issues. Okay, so it's been around for a long time. It was adopted by the conference. The transition group was able to provide any specific guidance as to a model under which we could downsize the conference and have the items under Resolution A identified and addressed, and we put it back to the conference to let them deal with it as they would. What the board has said in our struggles with this is that if there's a movement to make the conference smaller, it probably will need to come from the fellowship, okay, from regions and zones. We've had at the last conference, we had a couple of regional motions that attempted to address this that were not adopted, that didn't have a great deal of support. At this point, there's nothing the World Board is planning to bring forward in moving forward with Resolution A. or any of the components of that. Okay? Anything anybody wants to add? This is the brain trust. Great. So anybody want to add anything? Dave, you were resolution A with the TG. Did I fairly state our position?
You really want me to talk about resolution A again?
Very, very briefly.
Okay. Wally, thanks for asking the question. I think over the last couple of conference cycles, we kind of started to realize that the problems that were addressed by resolution A were not really solved by downsizing the conference or putting another layer of service within our structure. And there's no problem with having a big conference. You know, we could fill this big room down here. You know, we like to see more communities coming in. We like to add participants. So that the problems that we had were not really problems of size or the service structure. They were other problems. And I think we would kind of come to consensus on the fact that we've solved a lot of those problems by our changes anyway. And that we don't really need to change the conference. We don't really need to put extra levels in our service structure to allow us to achieve what we want to achieve. We've done a lot of changes at the conference. The board's made a lot of changes in the way that we operate. The committee structure has changed, gone. So I think we've kind of addressed the perceived problems that Resolution A tried to address.
I'm John, I'm an addict.
I'm John.
From Richmond, Virginia. So if you get a letter from me, you'll know this is face. First of all, thank you very much. I'm doing an awesome job, I think. I want to tell you what I think you're doing right. That letter in reference to National Recovery Month, that was awesome. You saved some lives sending that letter. The way you did it, that meant a lot to me in our area, so thank you very much for that. However, switching gears, that little baby basic text y'all made, that was cute. I liked that. And I saw it was made in China, so I'm sure it was inexpensive. But I'm asking y'all to talk about how can you make a small book like that, perhaps even paperback, that we can buy very inexpensive and take it to jails and prisons, because we get a lot of basic texts in the Virginia prison system. We're working hard to get one to every inmate in the state. We can get a lot of them in there if we have inexpensive, maybe paperback basic texts. I'm asking you to see what you can do in that area. So y'all, you know, you can shake it and move it. I know you can do it. And also, I want to just comment on this. The way literature is being approved nowadays, I think it's fair to say it's a necessary method to use, and I'm not opposed to that at all. If possible, try to consider how you can implement the way we did it in the old days. That way we can have two ways we approve literature. You know, one is somehow find a way to send it out to all the home groups, the fellowship. Let us go over some literature. You know, I think y'all are hearing the scuttlebutt around here. But you don't necessarily have to let go of the Whirlpool method you're using either. I think we could use both. So I don't want to end up like the fellowship of AA and how they do their literature. Which they probably don't do no more anymore, but I don't want to lose but you know how our basic text is put together basically. So no, I don't think you need to comment on that, but when you go home, pray and meditate on that. How can we preserve our old way of doing the literature? Thanks.
Thanks, John. Tom?
Hey, John, thanks. Well, I'm going to switch it around. So I would like to see all our literature be reduced to accommodate that. But it's going to take us really embracing the second tradition, become self-support, and we could do that. You know, that's the problem. You know, we produce a little book like that, and it's really more of a you know, and I don't want to use the term novelty book, but it's, you know, because our base deck is not a novelty. I'll get killed for that. but, you know, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, if we were produced at a cost, you know, that's like, you know, really, really low and stuff, you know, well, of course, that's where the revenues will end up going, picking up that kind of, you know, cost of book. And we would not be able to deliver the services that you guys have asked us to deliver. And we're barely being able to do it. So I'd switch it around. You know, let's look at our seventh tradition. How are we fulfilling being self-supporting here? Are we making direct contributions? Is the fund flow really working? You know, are we supporting our rural services? Are we supporting our areas and our regions? Okay? Thank you.
Great. And there was one other item that John raised that I wanted to address, and it's about the approval process for literature. Okay, separate from the development process. Okay, because what you were referencing was an old development process. What we've tried to do is to achieve the best of both. The development by a small group of addicts gathered based on their varied experience and very geographic conditions and other factors that may come into it, worked on the sponsorship book. Okay, so our recovery literature, they came together and worked on it, and it was sent out for review and input by the fellowship, as we did in the old days. Okay. The approval for recovery literature goes out in the conference agenda report, which hopefully all groups take a look at. Not everybody does. Okay. But it's available for all of those who choose to participate in that process. The development and the approval of service materials is the other process that we have that goes to the regional delegates at the time of the budget. Then they can decide with it if they need to take it out to their groups. But it's that material also is sent out for review and input, but on a shorter time frame. Okay, so the approvals are different for recovery literature. It goes out in the conference agenda report to all the groups. For service material, like the treasurer's handbook, the PR handbook, those types of things that are service-focused, not recovery-focused, not personal recovery-focused, those are sent to the delegates for action at the World Service Conference. So those are the two separate processes. We've got two of them. It's a little confusing even for me at times. Okay? Yes, ma'am, back up at the back. I've talked to all gentlemen so far. Yes, you.
Hi, my name is
Stephen.
I'm Maddox. Hi, Cynthia. I'm from the Joliet area of North Western Monument. I want to ask you all, we're having a recovery month on September 10th. And somehow, they want to be in our area. The state's attorneys that were in our area to become a vendor where they could have our area as a vendor to sell them literature to the ones that come through there. How can I do that? And if I can, how? Now I'd like to ask you about the institutional group book that's come out for H&I. So I'm going to hit with that. Thank you. You guys do a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. The issue about becoming a vendor and how you would do that, probably you would be best served by sending an email or calling the World Service Office and talking to a member of the Fellowship Services Department or the Shipping Department as well. Okay, so they can help you in getting some of that set up. The issue about the institutional group, Greg, Ron, somebody down there? Craig's the old H9 guy, so.
Hey, Cynthia, how you doing? I'm an ag named Craig. I heard but you really didn't ask a question about it. You just said something about. You can get as many as you want from the World Service Office, just as it is part of the inventory at the office. Any other item like IPs or an H-9 handbook, anything along those lines, the institutional group guide is available too.
Thank you.
And you mentioned National Recovery Month, and it's really nice to see the cooperation between Narcotics Anonymous and our local efforts. Actually, tomorrow, just a little preview for tomorrow, we'll have some representatives from the state of Hawaii related to National Recovery Month. And Tom, they're having a moment of silence at noon tomorrow for National Recovery Month observation here in the state of Hawaii. So it is something that we can all join together and partner with other people who are trying to deal with addiction. Michael, quickly.
I'm Michael, I'm an addict.
Hey, Michael.
From London.
I guess I think I'd like to address this question to Daniel, because perhaps he's the one who answered it last time, the concept. I'm going to ask the same question that I asked at the last open board meeting. In 2002, Motion 51 was brought to the conference by Italy and Indiana, which requested 12-step booklets in dual languages to be made. And the board recommended Michael McDermott spoke, it was a motion from the floor, Michael McDermott spoke in Penn State, but the board recommended voting against the motion because they didn't understand it. That's what Michael said. And for one reason or another, Italy didn't bring it to the floor anyway. Didn't get it.
Right.
So, last year, I was able to come to the conference, and I asked, I think Anthony answered the question first. He's not here. And I asked what it was, because what it was that the board didn't understand about the proposal, because there's some confusion about it. And Daniel answered the question, and he spoke in German, and we spoke afterwards. And basically, Daniel's point was that he gave an example. The example that he gave, after he spoke in German, he said, "Well, do you understand what I said?" I said, "No." And he said, "Well, that shows that it can't work." And what Daniel was answering, I think I'm right in saying this, is that there's like, for instance, there's a concept in the English, it says we become a seductive member of that society. A seductive member of society. And Daniel was saying that basically, to put that concept into German, you really need like half a page, because Germans don't really understand what that means in the same way that we do. And so you have to have a footnote or a paragraph. It can't just be one sentence. Now, what the line number concordance proposal does is we don't interpret what the other, either a local translation committee if it's a draft, or if it's one of the now 12 other approved languages. With the Danish, I'm just talking about the steps.
Right.
Just got the basics. So I'm coming to the question. But I think it's important for the background to be, but what Daniel was saying, and I think that what the board seemed to understand was this is not possible to do. It's not possible to have a concordant dual language booklet. And I gave Daniel a copy of the German booklet that was produced by some members in the German fellowship.
And the question.
It shows that, you know, it is possible to do it.
And the question.
So the question is, do you understand that now? And if you do understand that, what's the problem?
Right. We do understand the product that you're suggesting, but we don't see it as a recovery priority. We want to get literature translated into languages other than the 13 we currently have approved, so that they can begin to appreciate the benefits of recovery. And then, as we grow in numbers and strength, perhaps we can do that at some point in the future, Michael. And we provided that answer to you several times.
I know.
Okay. So thank you very much. No, thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you. I've provided you for an opportunity for the question and a response in a very respectful and loving manner. So thank you very much for respecting the process. Yes, ma'am. Well, it's always a challenge, you know, and knowing that the World Convention was held in New Orleans, you know, and I'm assuming that you're referring to New Orleans and the southern Gulf states, and similarly last Christmas with the tsunami in Asia and India, it's always a challenge to know what we can do best for our members. Okay, what we can do best for our members is, in my estimation, and we haven't discussed this as a board, so I'm going way out on a limb here and telling you my personal view on this, okay, is that we become involved in our communities and we do what we can through the efforts of other organizations that are, their primary focus is providing such assistance. Okay? We will assist the communities that are affected by this. If they need literature, we're going to make sure that they get literature. But at this point, many of the communities are facing the issues of staying alive versus having a step guide. So we want them to be able to do that. So if you wish to participate in that, engage yourself in the civic obligation or the civic opportunity. Opportunity was the word I was looking for. I see it as obligation, but it's an opportunity to donate, provide time and effort toward those disaster reliefs, but not necessarily, it's not our focus. Our primary purpose as an organization is to carry the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. And if we start varying from that to address natural disasters, we're going to get drawn away. Yes, ma'am, right there. Okay. I've been working registration since this baby opened, okay? I've been working registration since this opened, and I've had this discussion about 400 times. All right? So if it sounds like I've got a rehearsed answer, it's because I've said it a few times. The only way that World Services can effectively plan to have enough numbers is if everyone pre-registers. Okay? If everyone pre-registers, what has occurred at this convention? Usually, over the last 10 years, our on-site registration, the number of people who wait to come to the convention, has been running about 10 to 12% of the total number of pre-registrants. Okay? Not a bad group of history over 10 years to look at that. We had about 6,100 people pre-registered. So we had enough on-site based on the old numbers. We've had three times the number of people do on-site registration at this convention than we had at the conventions for the past 10 years. So yeah, we ran out, and we're not making any more. And I'm sorry, pre-registration is the best way to ensure that you're going to have that whenever you arrive at the convention. Ma'am? Okay.
And secondly, although you think you're not going to make any more material, it caused those of us who didn't receive those materials as much to register for this convention as it caused those who did. And I don't believe that's in the spirit
okay.
of our program.
The trinkets or the tchotchkes or the materials that are in the packet, and I understand you don't want to hear it, but perhaps somebody else in the room does. That the other materials that are in the packet cost about $4.50. Okay? It costs about $4.50. The $70 that everyone paid for on-site registration offsets about 80% of the expenses of putting on this convention. The shuttle expenses to take members from this convention center back to the major hotels, the expenses related to the coffee houses, to the entertainment, to the audio-visual support, for our main meeting space, the cost of this facility, because this facility is unlike a hotel. We don't get this meeting space free because we filled hotel rooms like many regional conventions. So we pay for this facility. So the $70 helps to offset some of the expenses, but it fails to offset all of the expenses. Okay, and I understand that you don't like the answer, but that's the facts. Yes, sir, right there in the cap. Yes, sir, in the green? If you would stand, please. That's what people have been doing. Thank you. The service materials.
Service, okay. And I guess that my question is, why are there two separate processes? And when did that first occur that they decided, oh, we just have a separate process for a separate process for sponsors?
Okay. Ron? Yeah, somebody pass Ron a mic. Where'd it go? Oh, I'm sorry. Ron from New Mexico. We have three Rons on the board, so it makes it confusing.
My name is Ronnie. I'm an addict.
Hi, Ronnie.
Separate myself from these jokers over here. The spirit and intent of the change, first of all, the change that you're asking about, a work group was put together, I believe it was during the 1999 conference cycle, a work group was put together to examine, is there a possibility that we could come up with some ways to more quickly get service materials on the table? Because our conference approval process and our fellowship approval process is long, and if you're saying, okay, we have a need, somebody asked about the internet thing, for example. Let's say that we said, there's some fast emerging technology out there, and we'd like to get something in front of you, maybe satisfy what he's asking for. Is there a way to do things like that a little bit quicker than to have a multi-conference cycle, especially when we were moving to a two-year conference cycle? So if you have one conference cycle where you've approved a project, and then another conference, these things take a long time. And so the intent was, there are certain things that may not require that much due diligence up front, like a sponsorship booklet, for example, which is recovery material, and we really want to give it the full issue. Maybe some things that are service-oriented don't need to have that much time and that much consideration. They're just materials we'd like to get in the hands of the fellowship a little quicker and let people get their hands on something they can use. So that project was intended to produce that kind of a process, and so we attempted to come up with a process that was a little bit shorter and more efficient for those types of materials.
Additionally, the other advantage to that, the way that process changed, what was your name again?
Gary.
Was that for years we've been hearing from our home groups and our fellowship that the material in the conference agenda report was not relevant as far as to my home group. My home group was being asked to approve PI guidelines, H&I guidelines, guidelines that members had no experience on and truly didn't have a lot of engagement with, and it didn't seem to bring any value to them. So our response to that was to disconnect the service material from the conference agenda report. If you notice, the conference agenda report used to be about that big. As big as a phone book. And a lot of that information there, our members were being asked to approve that had little or no experience with, and to be honest, didn't care that much about. And so, in response to that, we separated that to put the service material in the hands of the people that have the most experience with it and have the most value with it and have the most interest in it. And as a result, the conference agenda report has shrunken. And in place of that, we've tried to place materials that have much more value to our members. Those issue discussion topics and recovery-oriented topics that our members seem to have more of a connection with than some of the service material.
Great, thank you. Yes, sir, right here. We'll let him go, and then I'll come back to you, sir, okay? You were both right in the same line right there, so.
I just have two quick questions. The first one is the child back on the lady back here, as far as helping the people like in New Orleans. If my history reads right, I believe that the first NA meeting started in a salvaged and army-owned building. So would it be, okay, like, to like just donate a certain amount of money towards Salvation Army, towards that? The second thing is, like the lady was standing back here, I understand what you were saying about the name tags, but I did pre-register it. I didn't get a telephone book. Is that the reason for that?
We didn't produce a telephone book. No, there's a few pages in the back of the program for notes and numbers, but there's no specific telephone book. So we didn't do one this time. That's a quick answer. The other one about making the donation, whatever organization you would choose, there are any number that are listed. You can see them on television if you want to get involved in disaster relief. You know, that's out of our civic, you know, being of service. You know, sometimes being of service we think of as just service in NA. Sometimes about being of service in our communities. Yes, sir, the fellow right behind you.
Yes, sir. My name is Gene Homanatic.
Hi, Gene. Hey.
I'm the treasurer of Manhattan area of New York City, one of the biggest areas in NA. And what I wanted to ask is, one of the things that disturbed me when I came here is when I came here at the airport, there was a SUV with World Service in it. Now, my thought was, okay, you know, they're picking people up. I went there, right? Number one, the guy was really arrogant. He tells me that this SUV is for to pick up a director. Now I'm saying to myself, I thought that this was NA. Why can't directors find their way here like anybody else? Why do where we are on the island where gas is $3.85 a gallon there, we have an SUV to pick up directors. In my area, we are taught that that's a violation of the eight concept, spending money wisely. And what I've seen is that the World War is no longer responsible to the groups which destruct, which we said God wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the groups. And so I'm concerned about that. I'm also concerned about, I see the directors, but I don't see the diversity of NA or Sigma. There's no diversity of NA Sigma. Where's the black woman?
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. And as it relates to the composition of the World Board, I'll speak to that, and I'll let the other members get in on the rest of your comment. The diversity of the World Board is a reflection. The World Board is elected by your regional delegates at the World Service Conference. They're the ones who make the decision. The regional delegates and the members of the World Board cast ballots to elect those people. We have about a 40% representation from outside the United States, which is pretty good. I don't need to go down the list and say, okay, there's the Latino. Here's a white guy from New Mexico. Here's a really old fart from Hawaii. Okay. You know, I mean, we've been very fortunate to have the level of, and what we can't get, and this is, if I may, sir, where we need to get those people involved in service and allow them to stay involved in service. Okay, allow them to demonstrate their capacity as leaders in our fellowship. Often we put blocks in the way of people of being involved in service, especially with women. You know, unless you're single, you don't get to serve because the expectations are so high. So it's about having the culture developed. So Tom's got
pertaining to the SUV, the limousine service, or whatever the hell we want to call it. I got involved with rural service back in the early 80s, okay? I paid out of my pocket for everything. You know, when I came to rural service conference, I got my own hotel room and paid for it. I flew myself here and paid for it. You know, in our fellowship, wasn't too many people could afford to do that. So if you could afford to do it, and I really couldn't afford to do it back then either, but, you know, I was able to do it, but most people couldn't. So that limited members' participation here. So our conference, a long time ago, decided, you know what, when we elect our people to serve us, we're going to pay for their basic needs, their transportation, stuff like that. Now, if I were to pull into the airport and get myself a taxi, which I'm going to get reimbursed for because that's what we do. We reimburse our trusted servants on the world level right now. Okay, it would cost me $40 or more to get to the hotel. Now, you add all us up, $40 each. Each all get our taxes. You all came in different times. The speakers were also getting picked up in those SUVs.
You add all that up, I think we're extremely prudent. We saved the fellowship a lot of money by having those SUVs, whatever the hell, to get us all. So I think we did a great job, and I'm sorry you felt this because of it. But you know what? If I would have been you, and I would have seen that thing pulling up and seen some drinking, I would have felt the same way. But you know what? We have a program here. You know, sometimes we just got to dig deep and say, you know what? What's this reaction I got here? You know, can I get past it? You know, you ask the question, we're giving you an answer. I hope it makes you feel better. Believe me. Yeah, well, you know, that's why we keep coming back.
I'm David.
You know, my cab driver. I rode in our first SUV. It wasn't. It was a minivan. And I caught a cab here, and it was unique in that I felt kind of corny because I was trying to close the door. But I'm so old fashioned, man. I didn't know they automatically closed. But I'm just like you, man. I came in here on a cab, and I agree with what Tom just said. It was a prudent use of the funds, and that there were volunteers on the local fellowship, like they do in a lot of other places, who wanted to be in that role to come out and provide that service to the fellowship. And I'm not trying to undermine what you're saying, but I'm speaking from my heart. And I'm going to tell you what I do in my area, because I got a home group, and when we have people, we have an area convention in my home area. And when we have speakers that's coming into the Orlando airport, I don't mind driving out and picking this person up. I give them a hug, and I make sure they get back. I tell them about certain things that I see to welcome them to the area and stuff, and I probably would get that on my next dime when I come out to Hawaii. But, you know, you're entitled to your perception, but I just want to let you know that I rode in my first minivan that had automatic doors just the other day.
I'm Dave, and just briefly about the pickup. It took me over 28 hours to get from my house to the airport. And there was an offer to pick me up, which I declined because I didn't want to get off an airplane and have some enthusiastic local member saying hello when all I want to do is go to bed, go to sleep. I got a lot of character defects that would be running riot after 28 hours. So I got a taxi and I paid for it myself. Okay, so I didn't even, you know, I didn't. Sometimes we do stuff, sometimes we don't do stuff. You know, I've travelled from my house to Los Angeles 7 times this year, plus coming here. That's 8 trips away. I think, believe me, we've just moved out of the 8th month. Maybe we do too much stuff. You know, maybe we should get other people doing stuff. But the job that the conference asked me to do took that amount of time. You know, so every month I flew to LA, did my stuff, went back home. Totally fucks me up. Excuse my language, but that's what it does. The stuff about the diversity, you know, I'm middle class, middle-aged white guy. I was part of the group that discussed forming the New World Board from our original structure. way to go is the expression. you know, and part of the wording looked at our best qualified people. We've got a diversity, you know, German, Texan, Australian, Swedish, New York, Southern America. You know, we've got a diversity. I didn't want to get elected to this board because of the fact that I'm English, or I come from Europe, or I'm gay, and then sit here and say, well, I'm only here because I'm gay. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be here because I am the best qualified. So, you know, we want to encourage people to be, you know, fill your resume out. Get the HRP to take your resume. I know it's monotonous. They keep sending out new ones. It's all Tom McCall's fault. You can speak to him later and find out why. But fill in your resumes, send your resumes in. We need the diversity. We're getting the diversity. But we want the best qualified. The conference will not elect someone just because they are a ethnic minority.
Yeah. And does your girlfriend know you're gay? Sean?
She knows I'm gay on the front, but...
Oh, okay.
So I'm not.
All right. Right. Yeah. And I just wouldn't want you to take away that I'm the only gay board member. Okay, just hear this, sir.
Hey. Hi, family. I'm an actor named Scott. Great to be here. I've been blessed to travel the world and go to NA meetings. And I was in a meeting in Shanghai, China, and there were six English-speaking addicts in that meeting. At that time, there was no translated literature into Mandarin or Chinese. And it's my gut feeling that in the next 50 years, our greatest potential for growth is in China with the number of addicts that are being persecuted and so on there. I just wondered where we're at with the basic text in Chinese, if that's a priority, but I see that as a great potential for our diversity.
Right. Thank you. As it relates to the translation of our recovery literature, it usually begins with IP number one. Okay, so they get the basics, who, what, how, and why. Okay, so you start with that. We recently made some changes to the translations process to allow it to occur much more quickly as well. As the local fellowship in China develops, and they develop an understanding of their local, how they would say something. You know, sort of like here we have certain idioms that we toss out and we don't even think twice about. Sort of like, you know, my sponsor was rooting for me. Okay? Well, in the States, that makes a lot of sense, you know, that our sponsor was supporting us and providing us with a great deal of love and affirmation. In Australia and New Zealand, it would mean our sponsor was stupping us. Okay? So it's very important that the local community be involved in the translation. Translation of our recovery literature doesn't occur at the World Service Office, and then we give them the translation. They're engaged in the process so that they have ownership in the process as well, and we don't end up putting words in there that they don't understand, like Daniel is going to go next on Führer or other related items.
We currently have four IPs as a draft who's going back and forth from China to us, and it's certainly on our screen, and you could be aware of this. Well, I'm from, you know, I'm from Germany. I'm a foreigner, so to speak, to God's language, which is English. And not Queen's English, David. It's American English.
He's the only Queen on the board.
And, you know, it's a hard thing. You know, this is a hard thing. So if there is a merchant... fellowship language group, so to speak, you know, who needs help, you can be sure that we do everything that's needed to get them their literature. But it has certain rules, and there's a lot of knowledge about how to do it and how to process it, and we have all this. Actually, the THG we have at the moment, you know, I'm privileged to work with them. They're great people. They all, less or more, all foreigners, knowing both sides and knowing the tricky sides of a language. I can assure you this is not a problem at all. It is a problem because it's a huge amount of work, but you know, we do everything we can to get it done.
Right. And the TEG is the Translations Evaluation Group. It's a work group of the World Board with people outside the board that are assisting in the translations process and review process. Yes, ma'am. Yes, you.
Where are our newcomers at these conventions? Why aren't we listening? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. old-timers, old-timers, people that, did the first convention. He wasn't able to come here. There was a lot of people that, I mean, it's really neat to hear people speak, and everybody's been wonderful. And please don't think I'm criticizing, because I know what it is to be a trusted servant. But I would encourage you to bring forth our old timers. I can't talk, but only because they're going to be dying. And we're not going to have them for very much longer. And I think, Betty Kay's story, the basic text, I think mine too, when I was a And I'd like to see that continue to be involved in people's lives. Is she going to have to, send that in again? Is she capable of that? I don't think so. I mean, what are we going to do with those stories that some of us got clean with and hung on to? And, you know, that's a real important part of our, for me, my upbringing in NA. You know, and I was, I'm a little concerned about changing our stories. Very concerned. You know, and I voiced that before, and you know, don't squeeze the USA out looking for diversity. You know, we're here, and we're here to stay, and we're important, too. I think the diversity is important, but don't punish us, you know, and punish the old-timers that are from Southern California. Let's hear from them. Let's encourage them to be involved. There's a birthday in a couple weeks of a guy that's going to be 35. It's in my first meeting. Has always attended meetings. He'd be awesome to be at a convention speaking something. You know, and I know you have that every 10 years. I doubt that he's ever done it. You know, how can we reach out to them and get them more involved and let them know that we need them?
Well, let me ask you, are you suggesting that we should identify some set of old-timers and at the expense of World Services bring them to World Conventions? Or are you saying that we should have them speak? I was a little unclear on what you were suggesting about making something we could do to make sure that they're here. So you're suggesting speakers. We should, as we're picking speakers, make sure we reach to the... Okay. Okay, I understand that. On the issue of the basic text and the stories, we are well aware. Okay, first of all, we're operating right now from a motion from a project plan approved by the conference that says we're going to remove some or all of the stories from the basic text, introducing a sixth edition basic text. So we are well aware that the next steps in this process are going to be very painful and difficult because there's going to be some stories removed from the basic text. And when you remove some story, you're going to remove a story that somebody says, no, that was the story for me. You know, and so it's going to be difficult, and it's going to take a whole lot of surrender on a lot of our parts, but also it's going to take the courage that you're showing here, which is to stand up and speak to the issue. And I hope that we really have an active dialogue among ourselves on our way there, because I think this next few years is going to be a challenge getting to that place. But some of those stories in the basic text are going to be removed. Now, you said, what are you going to do with them? There is no part of the current project plan that we're operating does not right now involve the answer to that question. So we really can't answer it right now, but there are possibilities that get thrown around about possibly, for example, what AA did in the last time they pulled a bunch of stories out of their big book. They published a separate volume of stories, every story that's ever been published in any edition of the big book. And so something like that's possible. But again, those projects, if something like that were to happen, it would be a future project, not part of the current project. So it's a little hard for us to be specific about an answer to that.
Right. There's no current project to or current approval process for us to have that particular type of item. I understand we're coming down to the end of our time. I want to say thank you for everyone who attended this. You know who the board members are. Hopefully you've seen us around. You'll be able to ask us your questions individually. Thank you very much, and we've got a little bit more to do. It's over at noon tomorrow.